Welcome back to a fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Judith Bishop tells us about the new arts center at Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. South Florida will celebrate its folk music history Friday the 28th through Sunday the 30th at the Titanic Pub and Brewery, 5813 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in Coral Gables. That's just south of the University of Miami's Mark Light Stadium. That site used to be the location of the iconic folk club known as the Flick Coffee House in the 1960s. It presented some of the best singer-songwriter talent from that era: Joni Mitchell, Steve Goodman, David Crosby, Jerry Jeff Walker, Tom Rush, and John Sebastian, along with renowned South Florida talent Fred Neil, Vince Martin, and Bobby Ingram. Actor and comedian Gabe Kaplan will MC the 50th anniversary of The Flick next weekend, featuring Vince Martin, Chuck Mitchell, Michael Smith and Barbara Barrow, Kevin Hurley, and Bobby Ingram, among other singer-songwriters. We recently spoke with Coconut Grove's folk musicologist Bobby Ingram about those heady times. Bobby Ingram, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. It's an honor to have you with us today, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me, what was Coconut Grove like way back in the early to mid-60s, and what were some of the places you'd frequent?
Well, when I first came to the Grove, it was actually to do a kind of a site survey. I had met Vince Martin up in the other end of town, up in around the 79th Street Causeway, and I had lived in Miami. This would be about 1960. I had lived in Miami since the early 50s. But part of that time I'd spent in the Navy. And the first transition that was kind of abrupt for me was going from it was so ordinary in Miami Shores, I mean, so middle America in 1950s, and then I went to Key West and there's this crazy conch town in the 50s. It was a sailor town, Navy, it was Navy and Marines. I had an attitude towards Key West, you know. And when I came back and went down to the Grove with Vince to look at where we were going to build a coffee house, the first thing I saw was Key West, but, you know, there's no shore patrol, you know. And it was so, Eddie, it was so laid back. It was so incredibly laid back. And it was a funky little village, and it was kind of the little town at time forgot for about 10 or 20 years, you know, between that Second World War years when the Grove was a boomtown with Pan Am. And all the greats, this history of ours, it's being ignored right now with this new Bayside thing that they're going to put down there. But Pan Am was down. The Coast Guard base was still there. There were still helicopters coming in practice. And then once in a while, I guess it was a flying boat once in a while. But that whole era had ended at the end of the Second World War, and all of the whole aviation things changed so dramatically and went up to 36th Street. Mm-hmm. And so the Grove was, you know, was this boom town just before that. Military town, you know, a couple of times. The first Spanish-American War, too. And then it was suddenly just this quiet little town.
Some refer to it as paradise.
I've been living in paradise long enough, and I would have to agree that it's the closest thing I can imagine. I've been to Maui, but I've been to Guam, and I'd prefer Coconut Grove to Guam, that's for sure.
What were some of the places there that you'd frequent?
We ate at the Florida Pharmacy, which is now still on the corner of McFarland and Maine. The model of the Grove, the town model, was a lot like Miami Springs, Miami Shores, Alapata, Little River. You had the drugstore on one corner. You know, you had maybe a garden supply shop from one another corner, a bank, a gas station. They were all converged. Like Second Avenue was that way in the Shores. Second Avenue is that way in Little River.
Yeah.
You know, the Grove was that way in 1960.
Were there any clubs in the Grove at that time for music?
The nearest music venue was probably Millard Ward's Last Word, which was up on 27th, just on the other side of Cross Street. Moore Shell Lumber is now where that empty lot is. But it's a kind of the first time I went there was kind of concurrent with the same era with another friend of mine, a friend of mine from Little River. And we went into the Last Word, and it was atypical. The waitresses had blue eyeshadow, and everything was very mysterious, you know. It was terminally hip.
Yeah. Now tell me something. You preceded the rush of musicians down from New York and other places.
We created the rush.
You were there before it happened. Freddie Neil went up there and played in Greenwich Village in the early 60s, and he said, I got to get the heck out of here. Forget the snow. I'm going back.
Chronologically, the way it happened was, The first coffee house actually, in fact, did not open. It was not in the Grove. It was on the other side of U.S. 1 on Douglas Road at 37th Avenue. It was called, quaintly, the Coffee House. And some other investors from Miami Beach, friends of ours, Myron and Joan Jacobs, and they actually got the place open. And Vince and I didn't actually get it open, but we instituted the whole concept and spent my money. And then I went back. I was in the Merchant Marine at the time. I went back to the ships. I was working for the oil companies on tankers. And then it finally did open up. Shortly after it opened up, another friend of ours, a guy named Larry Marks, whose father was in the clothing business here, right, Larry Marks Fashions, decided he wanted to open one up, and he opened one up in Fort Lauderdale. And it was just, it had a ripple effect. A little coffee house with a couple of kids from the University of Miami that were music students, probably. I remember Mike Clow was one of those early guys. Keel Martin from Hill Street Blues came in. He was a kitchen guy. Then the Catacombs opened in Fort Lauderdale, and it was a very, very nicely done. And my roommate, actually, at the time, Gordon Hooper, was a restaurant designer or kitchen designer. He worked for Edward Don. And he helped him design the club, and the club worked. It only had 80 seats. So a lot of nights, we turned a PA, such as it was, PAs, they were hi-fi systems with little Shure mixers, you know what we had. And lighting was a coffee can with a yard lamp in it, you know. But the room, I mean, you go in rooms, some rooms now are so user hostile when it comes to music, you know. And some rooms, you know, just still work.
So those two got it started for the Flick. They paved the way for the Flick.
Well, it started the exodus, because what happened was that Vince went up to the Village where he had connections. He had played it in the Terriers in Greenwich Village. I mean, at that time, the Playboy Club was opening up. Mm-hmm. The Lambs Club, which was a spin-off clone of the Playboy Club, which is down where by 1800 was opened up. And suddenly, this trio called Peter, Paul, Mary was in my living room hanging out.
Wow.
Because they were friends of Vince's. We had an apartment up in what is now Wynwood, but it was on Gordon and I had an apartment. It was on 46th Street over in an upholstery shop. And suddenly we're in the midst of this, peripherals of this folk scene is starting to drift down. First with Peter, Paul, Mary, then the Clancys come down and play at the Playboy Club.
We're talking early 60s?
Early 60s, yeah. You know, 61, 62. Mm-hmm. And I'm suddenly in heaven. I'm with these people, and I could play enough. My father was a guitar player, so I could play enough guitar to hang with these guys.
Yeah.
And it all just began to evolve, and then the coffee house got open, and we actually had a gig. It was $10 a night, and we knew it wasn't a lot of money, but it was great fun. And then the war started going. Vince went back to New York, and that was when he met Freddie. He didn't know Freddie, I don't think, until then.
Fred Neal.
And Fred was a Florida boy anyway, because he was from St. Pete, from Treasure Island. So he'd grown up in Florida. He had no problem with, you know, that transition. And Vince brought him back to Miami.
And we're going to pick up with that in our second segment here on South Florida Arts Beat with our guest, Mr. Bobby Ingram. We'll return to the conversation with Bobby Ingram about the 50th anniversary of the Flick Coffee House in just a moment after we get those pledge lines ringing. Please stay with us. And we're back on South Florida Arts Beat with Bobby Ingram for our second segment. So, Bobby, the folk scene really started energizing. Peter, Paul, and Mary show up in your living room. People are coming down from New York. Freddie Neal is bringing down John Sebastian and on and on. Give us a sense of those exciting times.
Well, I like to think in chronological terms what was going on and that caused that to happen. Another coffee house opened up on 32nd Avenue, parallel to where this Douglas Road coffee house was. So now we got three venues. And then another coffee house opened up in Fort Lauderdale, down by right where the tunnel goes under, by Las Olas there. And it was called the Cafe Pegasus. And I get a phone call to go up to Pegasus and work, and the opening act is a comic named George Carlin, who was down from the Village, you know. Well, that was a rowdy week. And George and I had a lot. I was from Rockaway Beach, and George was from Manhattan, but I think the Rockaway thing had come up, but we were pretty compatible, I mean, as far as wise guys go, you know. But that was going on, and then when we got into the Catacombs thing, Tom Rush showed up from Boston, and Tom was golden. I had a recording that I'll give you some time. It's been digitized of Tom Rush doing an easy 20 minutes, and he was 20 years old. He was an English major at Harvard, but he was brilliant. Fred was on that tape. Fred Neil, Vince Martin, David Crosby playing a nylon string guitar. David showed up in town, came in on a Greyhound bus with a guy named Kevin Ryan. Kevin was so glad to get rid of David. He says, this guy keeps saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, all the way from New York City in a Greyhound bus. I mean, a 20-year-old.
Reminds me of Midnight Cowboy.
Are we there yet? Well, this is the early, this was the first cut. This was the cut that didn't make the movie, you know. And that's how I met Crosby. I met him in Larry Marx's living room down on Bayshore Drive. And Dave and I were sitting across each other with guitars. And we started singing harmonies. And that's that friendship is still going on today.
Now, the flick all of a sudden shows up on quite a prolific scene, three or four different folk clubs. How is it distinct?
The flick was the last of the clubs.
Ah.
It was the least likely in the sense of the way the other clubs were developing. At pretty much where the folk era was kind of winding down, people were beginning to hear about this band from England called the Beatles. I remember David and I in the parking lots of these coffee houses playing and comparing what Bob Gibson was writing in the folk world on his 12-string and what these English guys that we were just starting to hear about were writing. And we were finding some kind of a connection between what we were all doing that attracted us to that. Along comes a gentleman comes down from Nova Scotia, I believe it was, a guy named Max Lawner. This is the most amazing story because Max was a retired photographer who had a photo studio in Canada. We took photo, you know, pictures of families and whatever. Comes to Miami, Alan, this is his attorney, this guy, convinces him that what he really needs to do in his retiring years, his golden years, is to open up a coffee house. And Max goes for it.
Wow.
And I mean, at the end of the folk era, when everybody else is starting to plug in, Max opens this place that looks like Swenson's
ice cream parlor. Yeah.
Vince goes to New York on a mission to find some frou-frou. He comes back with signed Tiffany lamps. Hmm. And one of these huge Italian coffee machines with the griffin on top with the wings and the hooves, you know, and the medieval stuff. You know. And we had it all going on.
Wow.
And he opens this coffee house. It was the winter of 1964 because my boy Liam was born in April of 64, and we were playing there, and his mother was working as, Karen was working there as a waitress that night when Liam was born in South Miami Hospital. But so it had to be in the early winter. David and I had been in a folk group in California.
David Crosby.
Broke up. We went our separate ways. He went to Chicago. I came home. He came back down. There was a little bit of animosity about the band being broken up and everything. That was settled. And we both went to work in this brand new club. Vince, a girl named Chloe, who I wish I could remember her last name, Osbach, who became the bass player, was banging our gang later on. Vince, Oz,
Vince Martin.
The coffee house crowd, basically. Yeah. We moved over into this place with Mr. Lawner, who was the owner and manager of the place, and that was when the fun began. Because, I mean, it couldn't be a less compatible combination of personalities than these hippie musicians and Max Lawner. As the club developed, his favorite trick of all, the one that really endeared him to all the musicians, was he had a switch installed by his cash register. And it was hooked up to two lights that were on either side of the stage. And when he was tired of you, he would turn the switch and the lights would go on, flash off and on. And this was your signal, you got one more song. Oh, God, he was a piece of work.
Now, he didn't do that to Joni Mitchell or David Crosby or Jimmy Buffett or Jerry Jeff Walker or Dion or Tom Rush or John Sebastian.
He did
some
not
of the people who played the
discriminate.
The flick.
He did not discriminate. He told Joni to sing something that people knew. And she didn't. Mm. She made it up herself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was funny. He was just funny. Man.
What a stellar list of musicians.
They all came through there. Johnny came through there eventually. I did what, when Sebastian played there, I wasn't there. I was working over at Monty's.
Mm-hmm.
But Joni played with Chuck Mitchell, who will be on this show, was an ensemble player at the Flick. He was a regular at the Flick. By then, we had the Gaslight going over in the Grove, and Joni would come over and play at the Gaslight, which is where she met David. That story gets real complicated in there. But, but yeah, Dion was making a comeback. He had recorded Abraham and Martin and John. Lise Campbell was his manager.
Lise Campbell. And, he's a great producer.
Yeah, and came into the Flick, and nobody could. We weren't sure who Dion was because we were folkies.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up there, and he just was such a rocker with an acoustic guitar, and he just, his whole groove integrity was just incredible, you know. He was just fun to watch and fun to sing with and everything. And then we discovered that we went to the same Catholic boarding school in New York.
Ha. Well, listen, we've unfortunately run out of our time with Bobby Ingram, the musicologist, singer, songwriter, folk musician for decades here in South Florida. And it's wonderful to have you come on South Florida Arts Beat and give us a sense of a great history, Bobby. And my last question is, who's going to write the book?
Well,
you, sir. How about that?
I can spell.
You work your way around a computer pretty well. So here's my hint. Please consider doing that with all of your friends that are still with us. And that's a book that I definitely want to read and a great chapter in South Florida music history. And Bobby Ingram, thank you so much for joining us here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. It's been a pleasure, as it always is, to come down to WLRN. I don't know what we'd do without the station. A lot different city, I'll tell you.
Once again, the 50th anniversary of the Flick Coffee House takes place March 28th, 29th, and 30th at its former site, which is now the Titanic Pub and Brewery, 5313 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in Coral Gables. Limited seating is available. For more information, go to Eventbrite.com. Actor and comedian Gabe Kaplan is the MC, and the show will feature Bobby Ingram with Chuck Mitchell, Michael Smith, Barbara Barrow, Vince Martin, Kevin Hurley, and so many more. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat, and please keep our pledge lines ringing during our fundraising edition. We'll be right back.